Okay, we're starting here on the top of Lamed Vav, and we're now at 4 lines down. We actually finished off with the Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel yesterday about Dam Chalali Mishteh, Prat Dam Kiluach, Shenu Machzir Et Ezraim. Both Rashi and Tosafot would explain that that is a definition of what Dam Chalalim is. And even though they have a different definition here about what Dam HaNefesh is, in the end they both agree that Dam Chalalim is the Dam HaKazeh, the blood that's after the Dam HaKiluach. Whereas the Rambam has a slightly different interpretation of this Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, which ends up making it about Dam Shechita, and then instead of being the closing of the previous Gemara, which is the way we read it yesterday, it's really the opening to what we're going to speak about today. The way that Rashi and Tosfot read it, it's just brought down as a byproduct of what we discussed before, which is Rabbi Shimon's view with regards to Dam Shechita. Then we brought down, because Dam Shechita is different or in distinction to Dam Chalalim, we brought down in the end, Tana Debe Shmuel explains what Dam Chalalim is. But for the Rambam, who says speaking about Dam Shechita, then it's much more integral to the Sugya. And then it's a lead-in to what we're about to read today, which is Tana Rabbanan. Ashochet ve'diz Dam al-Dalat. If a person shechting and Dam goes out, or spurts out from the Shechita al-Dalat on a gourd, Rabbi Omer Hukshar, Rabbi says that is Machshir the Dalat. Rabbi Chia Omer Tolim. Rabbi Chia says that it's left in limbo. Tolim is usually a code word within the world of Truma, which means that's something that we have a safek about, and we don't know whether it's Tamei, the Gamrei, and you can be Sorefit, or it's Tahor, the Gamrei, and you could eat it. So it sits in between those two. And Rashi over here, therefore, describes the Dalat as being Tlusha Shel Truma. It was already picked, because it needs to be detached in order for it to have a Hechsher, the Kabbal Tuma. And in addition, it's of Truma, because Tolim is a word that we use with the world of Truma. So it's a Dalat of Truma. We want to know if this was Machshirit, the Kabel Tuma. So Rabbi says it works. And Rabbi Chia says he has a Safek about it. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya Me'achar, Sherabi Omer Huchshar, Rabbi Chia Omer Tolim. After Rabbi says that it's okay, Rabbi says that it is Muchshar, the Kabel Tuma. It's now primed to accept Tuma. And Rabbi Chia is uncertain about it. Anu Aminismo. Who are we going to follow? Bo Venismoch of Divi Rabbi Shimon. We may as well follow the view of Rabbi Shimon. Shaya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shechita Machsheret Velo Dam. Where Rabbi Shimon says that Shechita works to be Machshir the Behema that you're shechting, but the Dam has no impact. Again, but the Behema itself, it's not really relevant because you're doing Shechita anyway. So the Behema is going to be Mukhshar Yadei De Shechita. What it is relevant for is, does the Dam affect other items? Is it able to be Machshir those other items? And then, therefore, Rabbi Shimon will be a Machria over here. We'll have the Amoraim come back and describe or explain what exactly transpired over here. In the discussion here, you have Rabbi, who's the Mesader HaMishnah, who's also the Rebbe of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Hoshaya. He's their Rebbe. Now, Rabbi Hoshaya and Rabbi Chia are really Tamidei Chaverim of Rabbi. They are the Mesadrei HaBraitot. So it's interesting here that you have a machloke between Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, which in the dictates of the way we paskin should have been a clear-cut case for a number of reasons. We have the principle, first of all, that halacha ke rabbi mi chaveiro. When rabbi argues on an individual, then the halacha is like him. So here the halacha should have been like rabbi. Number two is, he's arguing with Rabbi Chia, who's a talmid of his. And generally when we have a rabbi and talmid, we favor the rabbi in that case and not the talmid. So for both of those reasons, the halacha should have been like rabbi over here. Yet Rabbi Hoshaya comes along and says, who should we paskin like? Sounds like he doesn't know who to paskin like. And then in addition to that, he brings a proof, as we'll see in a second, which favors the psak of Rabbi Chia, not Rabbi. So the Shita Mikubetzet takes up this issue and gives a number of answers over here as to why that is the case, partly because Rabbi Hoshaya is a senior person, he's one of the last Tanaim, and therefore he carries weight here as a Talmid Chover of Rabbi. Number two is that the principles that we laid out are principles of the Amoraim, not principles of the Tanaim. This is a much earlier discussion. Or the possibility that the Girsa here was not Rabbi Chia, but rather if you look in the Hey of the Shita Mikubetzet, it was Rabbi Achia. Rabbi Achia, who's a much earlier Tana, not the Rabbi Chia, who's the Talmid of Rabbi. The Shita Mikubetzet note Hey brings in Rashi's Girsa in most of the Kitveyah was Rabbi Achia, not Rabbi Chia. Again, number of different reasons that the Shita Mikubetzet brings as to why it is that we don't automatically assume here that the Halacha is like Rabbi. Now, Amar of Papa, Hakol Modim. Everybody agrees. Hechadita the dam mitchila vatsof. If the blood was spurting from beginning to end of the shechita, kuli amalo plige de machshir. everybody agrees that that is sufficient to be machshir the etalat. Ki plige ben nitkaneh hadam ben siman siman. Question comes up when you wiped off the dalat, the gourd, in the middle of the shechita. The shechita, halfway through the shechita, someone went over and cleaned the dam off the dalat. Rabbi savar yeshna l'shechita mitchila v'atzof. Rabbi believes that shechita is a process, and shechita therefore extends from beginning to end. By dam shechitahu. And therefore this is dam shechita. What hit the dalat was definitely dam shechita, because no matter where along the continuum of the shechita, that was dam shechita. Rabbi Chiya savar, ena l'shechita ela basof. That shechita only applies at the end. By dam makehu. And therefore the blood that came out in the earlier part was dam makeh, means dam magafeto. That we saw yesterday is not machshir, the item to be mekabel tumah. Umay tolim. And what does tolim mean? Tolim adavar ad gemar shechita. We have to see or wait until the end of the shechita in order to determine whether the blood that came on this was blood that came from the shechita, or was it blood that came from the earlier parts where it was just blood of injury, not blood of shechita. So now Gemara says, I eat the dam is so shechita machshir. If there was dam at that final stage of the shechita, then it is machshir. Below, lo machshir. And if not, it is not machshir. Umay bo v'nismoch al divrei Rabbi Shimon. And then what's the understanding that Rabbi Shaya brings over here when it says, let us rely on Rabbi Shimon? The Rabbi Shimon, lo machshir. According to Rabbi Shimon, the dam of shechita does nothing. It's not machshir. Or the Rabbi Chiya machshir. And Rabbi Chiya says it is machshir. Benit kaneach mihu ashu lahadadi. Once you wipe off the dalat in the middle, they turn out to have the same view, which is the blood that came out in the early stages of the shechita then hit the dalat. You wiped off the dalat, and then no more blood hit the dalat at that point in time. If no more blood hits the dalat, Rabbi Chiya, who believes here that in the shechita ela basof, means that the earlier blood was dam makeh, does not help you. So it doesn't help you in terms of hechshir kabel tumah, because you never got dam shechita on it. And Rabbi Shimon believes dam shechita is never machshir. So the both of them now believe that you don't have something that's mukshar the kabel tumah. Mar lo machshir, mar lo machshir. In that situation, both of them agree that it's not mukshar the kabel tumah. Havle Rabbi Chad, means Rav Shalachad, b'makom shnai. That makes Rabbi into a single position versus a majority who are against him, and the majority against him therefore is going to rule in this case that it's not machshir the kabel tumah, which is an interesting conceptually, because over here we're joining two opinions, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon, who do not believe the same thing. It's just that they happen to have the same view in this particular case. They have the same view for the different reasons. Despite that, we're willing to put them together and say they are the majority, and they were going to override Rabbi in this situation. So now we have, in this case, a machloket Rabbi and Rabbi Chiya. The machloket stems from the issue of Yeshna l'shkita mitchila atzof, whether you believe that shechita extends from tchila until sof, or whether you believe that the ena ela shechita ela basof, that there's only shechita way at the end. And those two concepts then drive the view of Rabbi and Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi saying that the entire process of the shechita is classified as being shechita, and therefore all the dam that comes out during that process is classified as dam shechita. Rabbi Chiya, on the other hand, believes that shechita only takes place at that final moment, and therefore at the final moment, that's the determination as to whether this dam is effective in terms of being makshir or not makshir over here. And it's because you cleaned off the dalat in the middle. So before the shechita was completed, you wiped it off, and then the blood didn't get on it after that point in time. For Rabbi, the dam that hit in the earlier stages, yesh the dam itchila batzof, and therefore it's considered to be something that's mukshar the kabel tumah. Rabbi Chiya, since there's any shechita batzof, the dam was not dam shechita but dam makeh, and therefore there is no mukshar the kabel tumah. And if we pair that with Rabbi Shimon's view that there's never any mukshar the kabel tumah from dam shechita, then you have a situation in which if you wiped off the dalat before the end of the shechita and no more blood got on it, that both Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon agree that it's not mukshar the kabel tumah, and they will trump Rabbi's position who thinks that it is mukshar the kabel tumah. That's the view of Rav Papa as to the explanation of the braita that we just brought down. Rav Ashi amar, tolim, le'olam mashma. Tolim is not what you said over here. Tolim, when the Gemara uses it, is something that is a safek, unresolvable issue, and therefore it remains that way permanently. The only way to solve the problem, as Rashi says, is Atshuvo Eliyahu Biyodienu. Until Eliyahu Hanavi comes and clarifies for us this safek, it will remain a safek. The way the Rav Papa is explaining Tolin is that it is just something that is a discrete period of time that we don't know. Once you reach the end of the Shechita, we'll know the answer to the question. Tolin means, let's just see what happens at the end of the Shechita. That's all of a couple minutes later, and we'll know the answer to the question. Terminology of Tolin is not used in those situations. Therefore, Rav Ashi says that Rav Papa's explanation over here doesn't make sense. Ve'nit kaneach, the Rabbi Chia, smukei misapkele. And therefore, he says that Rabbi Chia, when he says nit kaneach, and it got wiped off in the middle, he has a safek. He's not certain about the outcome in this case. Do we say there's a shechita from beginning to end? And therefore over here, like Rabbi, it's Mukhshar the Kabbal Tumah. Or is there only shechita at the end? And therefore, since none of the dam came from the animal onto this item at that point in time, there is no Mukhshar the Kabbal Tumah. Umay Tolin. So then what is the definition of Tolin here? It's the classic definition of Tolin, which is Lo Achlim, Belo Surfim. Can't eat it, because maybe now it is Tameh. It became Tameh because it was Mukhshar the Kabbal Tumah. And now that it's Tameh, you can't eat it. Belo Surfim, you can't burn it, because we're not certain that this Tumah touched something that was Mukhshar the Kabbal Tumah. Umay Bo B'nismach Al Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So then why is Rabbi Shimon the Machriel over here in this case, according to Ravashi's explanation? Rabbi Shimon Lo Machshir. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not Machshir at all. Rabbi Chia, Sfeika. According to Rabbi Chia, it's at least a Sfeik. He just doesn't know. So the Inyan Sreifa, Miu Shavu Lahadade. At least with regards to Sreifa, they agree. Marlo Sarfe. Umarlo Sarfe. According to Rabbi Chia, you can't burn it because Rabbi Chia says it's a Sfeik. Rabbi Shimon says you can't burn it because Dam Shchita is not Machshir. So for different reasons, they believe that you don't burn it. Rabbi Shimon, because he believes for sure it's not Tamei. Rabbi Chia, because he's uncertain as to whether it's Tamei, therefore you don't burn it. So therefore, you have now two opinions saying don't burn it. Rabbi saying definitely burn it, because it was Mukhshar the Kabbal Tumah. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon helps Rabbi Chia's side to say that you're not going to burn it. You're going to leave it as a Toleh, meaning as a Safek. And we can't do anything. You can't eat it for certain because there is a safek. You can't burn it because we have Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon who both believe that you shouldn't burn it over here. And they will trump in this situation. And therefore, Rabbi's position, it is for sure Tameh. He's not going to govern here to say that you should burn it. Therefore, we leave it as a safek. That's the view of Rav Ashi as to what just transpired in this Braita. But it's clear here from the way that the Gemara is laid out over here that Rabbi Shimon believes that Dam of Shechita is not Machshir, which is what Rav Asi told us yesterday. When Rav Shimon says that the Shechita is Machshir, he's saying exclusively Shechita is Machshir and not Dam. Yesterday we toyed back and forth with different views within Rav Shimon as to what he thought about Dam. We tried to bring a number of proofs and we rejected all of those proofs. But in the end, the conclusion is, like what Rav Asi made the statement about, which is that Shechita is Machshir, Dam is not Machshir. And over here, whether you use Rav Papa or Rav Ashi's explanation, they're bringing in Rabbi Shimon with a view that only Shechita is Machshir and not the Dam. In both cases, they're using Rabbi Shimon to indicate or weigh in on the position or the side that says that the Dam Shechita is not Machshir over here. And even though it's for a different reason than Rabbi Chia believes that it's not working over here, nevertheless, they come to the same conclusion. And therefore, they're going to govern in this case versus Rabbi's position, which is a single position on this issue. Now, there is some discussion here amongst the Rishonim and Achronim as to the Inyan HaShechita LeBasof over here, whether that's parallel to what we saw back in the Gemara on Chavtet Amud Bet with regards to the Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Bal Yesh LeShechita Mitchila Atzof versus and whether the terminologies that are used here are parallel with the sugya that we had before. Amongst the Rishonim, there are some who suggest that it is exactly the same machloket over here, same terminologies that are used here to use there. We read the Gemara in the simplest fashion, whereby the two sugya would actually reconcile, because we read into Rabbi Chia when he says in Shechita Ela Basof, that meant that there was Dam that came out at that last moment from the Shechita, and that there was the Dam HaMachshir. But you can see within the Rishonim over here, differing views, first of all, about how to read the Gemara and their conception of what's happening over here, including the Tosfot HaRosh, who makes the following comment, V'chita le'al datcha, shelo yachshir la tipa achrona,
You'd think that the only thing that was machshi over here is that last drop of blood at that moment of shechita at the end. And similarly, within the Naran, where he says, perished, afilam andamar, enin l'shechita l'basof, mikom mokom, ki nigmer ha-shechita. When the shechita is finished, iglai milta. There is a retroactive recognition over here, the havila shechita mitchila v'atsof, that it was a shechita all the way along, and any of the dam that came out retroactively now is classified as being dam shechita. So those Rishonim clearly view over here that the statement of Rabbi Chia that the Ein Shechita L'Basof is somehow retroactively indicating that the entire process here was Shechita and any Dam that flowed up until that point was Dam Shechita. And that conception is very different than what we saw back on Chaf Tet Amud Bet, that Ein Shechita L'Basof, which literally means as Sof, and anything that happens before that is not classified as Shechita. And that's actually the way that we read the Gemara, and there are Rishonim like the Ra'a, and other Rishonim who don't make comment over here, that obviously think that the two Sugyot are parallel in that way. But for those Rishonim that believe that there is this distinction in Ein Shechita L'Basof, they have to figure out a way either to reconcile or differentiate between the two Sugyot. And therefore, so the Rosh, in the Tosfot HaRosh, based on our Sugya here, makes a suggestion that the one who holds that Ein Shechita L'Basof really agrees that if you do get to that Sof, and then it's a Shechita B'Sof, then retroactively, everything along the way was a Shechita. It's only if something went wrong in between that he says that there's Ein Shechita L'Basof. But if everything goes right, he agrees that there's Shechita Mitchila Sof retroactively, once you hit that point of Shechita at the end. And that way he answers this question. The Gemara that we learned in Chaf Tet does not seem to support that. There are a number of cases where it seems to say just the opposite of that view, and that the person knows that the Ein Shechita L'Basof, when it's completed even, he does not retroactively say that that covers everything and makes it into a Shechita, that everything's okay. On the other hand, you have other Rishonim, like the Ran, who suggests that the difference has to do with what's happening over here.
And that the truth is, like the Gemara back on Chaf Tet, that Ein Shechita L'Basof literally means at the Sof at that point, but over here, we're looking for something else. And that is that whether the dam over here is classified as something that can machshir something like kabel tuma, and that's governed by ala aretz tishpechenu kamayim, dam that is spilled on the ground like mayim. And in that pasuk, we also learn the din with regards to chaya that you have to view kisui adam. And just like by chaya, the kisui adam applies to the dam throughout the process of shechita, even if you believe in the shechita l'basof. So to over here, that same dam, which has a requirement of kisui adam by chaya, by a behema, is alar eretz tishpechenu kamayim. You can spill it on the ground like mayim. And that means that all of that dam is negdar as something that can be machshir the kabel tuma. So even though the entire process is not classified as shechita, even retroactively, all the dam that comes out of there, which is ra'oy le kisui adam, has a classification of mayim and is called, quote unquote, dam shechita. And that dam of shechita is able to be machshir the kabel tuma.
The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, says that it is just a lashon mushelet. It's not really the same opinions over here as they were over there. It's just a borrowed term that they're using over here, but it's not exactly the same machloket. It's actually a machloket that is different, not about the core fundamental issue of yesh teshechita mitchila itself, but rather simply a terminology to describe what is transpiring over here, rather than the exact same discussion that was had back on Chaf Tet Amud Bet. Just to be aware that that is a discussion amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim over here. So then, by Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish poses the following question, which is, Tzarid shel menachot. If you have, Rashi calls over here, Tzarid shel menachot means a dry mincha. Tzarid or Tzarud, according to Rashi, is the same word that is used in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah to describe the sounds of the shofar. And sarid is like a hoarse sound that comes out of the shofar, a dry sound. And therefore, sarid shel menachot is a dry mincha. And Rashi says it's a situation in which they put the oil into the mincha, but the oil has not spread out throughout the mincha. So there are areas of the mincha that still remain dry. The Balei HaTosafot are somewhat bothered by that description of Rashi, because they say that didn't we learn earlier, both in Masechet Tzvachim and Masechet Menachot, that when you have a kli that has items in it for Tumah, that kli is mitzaref. It brings together everything that's in it to be a single unit. And that we learned from the Pasuk in the Torah by Parshat Noso, it says kafachat, that the spoon is viewed as a single unit. And therefore anything that's contained within it is a single unit. So if you have shemet inside of a mincha, even though the shemet did not spread to the remainder of the mincha, the fact that it's in a single utensil should cause the heksher to apply to everything in the unit, just like the tumah would affect everything in the unit, so too the heksher should affect everything that's inside the unit. So that's the Tosafot's question. He tries to maybe get out of it by saying maybe it's not in a kli sharet, but he says that can't be the case, because he says chibar hakodesh, which is the question we're discussing here, only applies inside of a kli sharet. So therefore he says, v'yesh lomar, t'mayri hocha shelo natan adayin shemen b'mincha b'tchila. The case where the shemen never got in to the mincha, it's dealing with real dry kemach over here, but it's already in a kli sharet. It's in a bisa, which is where you're going to mix the shemen with the flour, but you have yet to put the shemen in. And that's a kli sharet, because the dry measures, according to the one who says the dry measures in the mikdash, were kli sharet. And in that way, he describes the situation here being absent shemen completely. Or, b'minchat choteh u'minchat kinaot. We're dealing with a dry mincha. There's certain minachot that don't get shemen, including the minchat choteh and the minchat kanaot of the sota, neither of those get shemen. So maybe we're dealing with a mincha like that. And therefore, since there's no shemen, you just have the solet that is there. And velo natan bo mayim klal. We saw that there was a machloket as to whether you put water in these items or don't put water in these items. But he says, miu, lashon sarid, mashma miksata lacha, umitzakta yivesha. That's what it says in the end, the language of sarid favors Rashi's reading much more heavily. He says, because the word sarid is not usually used to mean dry. It means dry in the context of something that is moist. It means a dry area of something that is otherwise moist, which heavily favors what Rashi says over here, that there's shemen there, it just didn't reach certain parts of the mincha. But then you have the problem of kafachat, that it joins them. So the simplest answer, and the Maron Mirutenberg says this, is just to say that kafachat works by tumah, doesn't work by hefsher the tumah. It's a unique Gezeret HaKetuv by Tumah that it joins everything together. But Hefshe the Gabel Tumah doesn't have that effect. Others suggest that it's talking about the heaping that's on top. It's something that's above the rim of the utensil. And that heaping of the solet on top of the utensil means that it's outside of the area of the utensil that would have joined it together. And therefore that dry area doesn't have the din of Hefshe the Gabel Tumah because of the shemen down below. And that's another way to deal with it. Or, according to some, that Rashi's explanation over here is that we're speaking about kortei kemach. These are lumps of flour. These are areas of the flour that the shemen will never get into because they are clumped or lumped together. So therefore, even if you have the tziruf of the kli, maybe it doesn't work because it doesn't have the potential. The shemen can't get in there. The kli will work when the shemen has the potential to get in there, then we'll say it's as if it got in there. But here it can't get in there because it's a clump of flour. Maybe that would keep it distinct. So those are different ways to deal with the issue. And Tosfot in the end says, V'ho'adin, davamatzin emebe bebasar kodesh, shlo ba b'mayim, dam kodeshim lo makshir. Tosfot says, you could have asked the same question, instead of doing it by a mincha, you could ask the question by basar kodesh, because when you shech the korban for the mizbeach, the dam that comes from that is not makshir, because it doesn't have the din of alar aretz tishpachenu kamayim. Therefore, there was nothing that was makshir the animal. If you don't hold like Rabbi Shimon that shechita is makshir the animal, then if a case where the animal never had water that came on it, and only had dam of kodoshim that came on it, which isn't makshir, you'd have the same question with basar kodesh, which is uchlim that are not mukshar. And the question that Reish Lakish is posing is, monim bo rishon v'sheni, oin bonim bo rishon v'sheni. Does it have the hierarchy of Tumah, of Rishon, Sheni, and so on and so forth, because it wasn't Mukshar the Kabul Tumah. Well, if it wasn't Mukshar the Kabul Tumah, then why is it Mekabul Tumah at all? That is because Ki Mahanya Chibat Kodesh Le'Ipsule Gufe Le'Mimne Bei Rishon V'Sheni Lo. Is it when we say Chibat Kodesh works the same way as Heksher the Kabul Tumah, do we say that simply means that the item can become Pasul if Tumah comes in contact with it? But it doesn't create that hierarchy of first, second, and third level tumah. Odilma loshna. Or maybe it's functioning in the same way. The basic question is, when we say chibat kodesh is makshir, are we saying chibat kodesh is makshir, meaning it's the equivalent of heksher the kabel tumah? And in essence, what you have is an item that's already mukshar the kabel tumah. And again, chibat kodesh is maybe functioning in the same way that heksher works. And that is that in order for an item to be a food item, it has to be chashuv, and you have to be machshivit as a food item. So the Torah prescribes that washing it, or having a liquid go over it, is what's machshivit to be for certain, and to designate it as clearly being an ochel. So maybe chibat hakodesh accomplishes the same thing, which is that it designates this thing as a davar chashuv, as an item that's for achila, whether it's the mizbeach or whether it's the individual, but it does the same thing. If it does the same thing, then maybe you have the equivalent. And that means now this item is mukshar the kabul tumah. If tumah touches it, it'll have all the gradations or hierarchy of tumah. On the other hand, you could say that chibar hakodesh does a similar thing as hechshar the kabul tumah, but not in the real sense. It's not really mukshar the kabul tumah. It's simply saying that this is more susceptible to tumah now because it has a higher level. Because it's a higher level of kedusha, its susceptibility to tumah is much greater. And therefore, even without the liquids that are coming on it, it can accept tumah. But not that it's exactly like if you had hukshah lekabul tumah, where it has all the hierarchy in the first, second, and third level tumah. Simply means that it's going to become pasul. Because it's susceptible to tumah, it'll make it that it becomes tamei right away without any other preparation, without any priming, in order to accept the tumah. That's the nature of Reish Lakish's question. Amar Rav Elazar Tashma. It says in the pasuk, Mikola ochel, asher ye'achel, any ochel that you will eat, upon which mayim comes, then the conclusion from that, or the braita is, ochel haba b'mayim hukshar. Food that went through a liquid or was washed by waters is mukshar the kabul tumah. Ochel sheinu ba b'mayim lo hukshar. Any item that did not go through water is not mukshar the kabul tumah. So now the Gemara is going to say, Atu Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish leitle ochel haba b'mayim. It's a strange question, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is bringing the proof from the pasuk that there's a concept called mukshar the kabul tumah, and that hechshar the kabul tumah is driven by liquids. So he's saying to Reish Lakish, I don't really understand what you're saying over here. Hechshar the kabul tumah is driven by liquids. So the Gemara says, Atu Rabbi Shimon Lakish leitle ochel haba b'mayim. Doesn't Reish Lakish know that as well? He knows that the regular way for hechshar the kabul tumah works through liquids. That's not the nature of his question. His question is, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, hachi kami baile. His question is exactly that. Chibat HaKodesh, ko'ochel haba b'mayim dami? When you have Chibat HaKodesh, is it similar to ochel that already had water that washed it? Olo, or maybe not. So now the Gemara is pushing back against that and saying, Reish Lakish is aware that the real way for hechshar the kabul tumah to work is through mayim. That's not what he's asking. He's asking now, Chibat HaKodesh, does it simulate the effect of hechshar the kabul tumah, meaning that it simulates the effect as if liquid went on it? Or is it simply something that's parallel, which is that both items now are primed to accept tumah, but they're not going to function the same way? They both are susceptible to tumah now, but the one that had liquid went on it will be the only thing to count Rishon Sheni. The Kodesh will just become Potsul, and that's it. But there won't be any hierarchy of tumah inside of it. And basically, the issue is, in the world of Kodesh, does the Chibat HaKodesh function the same way as liquids in the world of Chulin? And that's the nature of the question.
The Ramban on yesterday's daf questions, what is the nafkamina, whether you count Rishon and Sheni over here. All right, for Chibat HaKodesh, if it already becomes Pasul, it becomes Tamei, that's one issue. But to count beyond that, you need the Ochel, which is what we're speaking about here, the Chibat HaKodesh. It is priming something that's Ochel to be Mekabel Tumah. For order for it to convey Tumah to another object, it has to be done in a mechanism that allows for conveyance of Tumah. And we know that Ochel is not Metame other Ochel. So it can't pass the tumah that way. And if you suggest it's going to pass it through liquids, then you have the issue that if you believe that the mashkim that are in the Beit HaMikdash, or mashkim in general, don't have a din deraita of conveying tumah, then how do you get the tumah from ochel being mitamei ochel? It doesn't work that way. So the Rishonim deal with it in different ways. Some say that we're speaking about here is only according to the one who believes that mashkim do have a din of tumah midoraita, or that within the world of Kodesh, ochel is metame ochel, as opposed to in the world of Chulin, where that doesn't work. In the world of Kodesh, there's also an elevated status that ochel can be metame ochel, and therefore that's how you get to a nafkamina, whereby the gradations of tumah are going to make a difference, even passing the tumah forward from the item that becomes tameh.
Where it says, Rabbi Elazar Nami, Miturei Krai Kamar. Rabbi Elazar also wasn't asking the question, saying, look, the Pasuk says this, and this is the Drasha, so what's the question? He understood that Reish Lakish's question was, how does Kodesh work vis-a-vis Chulin? But he says that the Pasuk has additional extraneous content in it. Michtek Tiv, it says, V'chi yutan mayim al zera, that if you place water or liquid in a zera, mi kola ochel asher ye'achel lomali, what is the additional pasuk that says, any ochel that you will eat that has mayim that comes on it, why do you need that additional pasuk? It's all extraneous in nature. Lav le me'utei chibat kodesh. Is it the whole point of it to come to exclude Kibat Kodesh and to say that this whole idea of hierarchy of Tumah is exclusive to the situation in which the Ochel had a liquid come on it and that it was primed by a liquid? So the suggestion, Rabbi Lazar, is that the Pasuk not only tells you a din, in telling you the din, it also duplicates or has extraneous language there, which seems to indicate that this is the exclusive way that it's going to work, and there's nothing else that will work. And that's what he's saying. Isn't it coming to be Mayit Kibat Kodesh? Mar says, well, maybe not. Chad v'tumat meit, chad v'tumat sheretz. The Pasuk is discussing two different silos of Tumah, or stacks of Tumah. A sheretz is an Abba Tumah, and a Tumat meit, who came from an Aviavot, from a meit itself, someone who's touched by a Tumat meit is also an Abba Tumah. So you have two different stacks of Tumah. If one that starts with a sheretz, that's an Abba Tumah, and then it goes down from a Av to Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, that's one stack of Tumah. They have someone who touched a mate who's an Ava Tumah, and they have a stack over there of Av, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. So you have two different stacks. Now, why would you assume that if you have one stack, the other one doesn't work? You have an Ava Tumah, it should be interchangeable. But Tzrichei, you need to tell me about both stacks. Diyash Menina Tumat mate. If you only told me about Tumat mate, Hotam Hu Dubai Heksher, there you need Heksher, Mishum Dolomitame Bika Adasho. Because it doesn't become tamei with the size of a lentil. The din of sheretz, or too much sheretz, is that even if you touch a lentil size worth of a sheretz, that's mitamei. It has a very, very small shiur. Mate has a higher shiur, a minimum of a kazayit, or a revit of dam, but there are also other measurements within the mate, but they're all above the level of a adasha, aval. Sheretz, dimitamei b'kadasha, emaloli b'yehefsher. So maybe sheretz, which is a much higher level of tumah, because it's a smaller shiur, maybe there you won't need hefsher. The tumah itself is so great that maybe you don't need a hefsher for the ochel in order for to accept tumah from a sheretz. V'yashmina and sheretz, if you only told me about sheretz, yishum delo metamei tumat shiva. Sheretz is only tumat yom. Sheretz only gives tumah for a day, and then if you go to the mikveh, the tumah's over. It's called tumat erev. About mate, dimita mate, tumat shiva, but mate, which is a much higher level of tumah, because it has the 7 days of tumah that is conveyed, ema loli by ekshar. Maybe there, the higher level of tumah will not require of the ochlim that it be mukshar the kabul tumah. Tzricha, that's why I need the pasuk to have two statements in it. Now, the truth is the context of the pasuk is sheretz. The Torah over there is speaking about the shvatzim and tumat sheretz, and the pasuk's written in that context of a sheretz. So how did the Gemara come to say that one of the parts of the pasuk is speaking about a mate? So Rashi and Tosafot say over here that it's in enu inyan. But enu inyan, the sheretz, they the inyan, the mate. And Tosafot actually expands it to say even more. It says in enu inyan, the sheretz, they the inyan, the tumot acherot. Other tumot, not just mate, any other tumah, that's an abba tumah, will all be subsumed under this enu inyan. So the enu inyan says, you have two psukim by sheretz, you don't need them. So one will be designated for sheretz, one will be designated for any other tumot that have an ava tumah, including tumata mate. Tosafot also points out that the tzrichuta only needs to be in one direction. Since the pasuk is written by sheretz, you don't need a tzrichuta as to why you're including sheretz. Sheretz is written because sheretz is the pasuk, and so you don't need a tzrichuta. The only tzrichuta you need is for the tumata mate. Why did you have to write tumata mate if sheretz is already included? But if you had said that only tumata mate, why do you need to write sheretz? What do you mean, why do you need to write sheretz? Sheretz is where the pasuk is found. That's the natural limud that you would have had anyway. The Tosafot says, nevertheless, the Gemara does it in its standard style of both sides are a tzrichuta, where each one of them has a chumran, each one of them has a kula. And so therefore, each one of them runs in an independent stack, and you couldn't learn from one to the other. And that's why the Torah gives you both of them in the information. But if that's the case, we don't have any proof against Reish Lakish's question, because over here, it's not coming to exclude Chibat HaKodesh. Meitei Rav Yosef, B'Shimon Omer, Hukshiru B'Shkita, Hukshiru, V'afilu L'mimnei B'hu Rishon V'Sheini. If they became Hukshar Yedei Shkita, then they're mukshar, even to count one and two and different levels of tumah. Rashi says, how do you know the fact that when Rabbi Shimon says that the shchita is makshir, the animal, how do you know he also believes that you count a rishon and a sheni? He says, because we already established that this Mishnah is speaking about chulin, and to use the term pasul in chulin is not meaningful. In the world of Kodesh, in the world of Hekdesh, if something is pasul, then it's disqualified from going on the Mizbeach. The word pasul makes a lot of sense. And Heksher would be the opposite of Pasul. Heksher means it's okay, Pasul means it's not okay. By the case of Chulin, the words Pasul and Heksher are not relevant, because by Chulin, there's no such thing as something being Pasul or something being Mukshar. The only way to have something that's hefsher and pasul would be speaking about gradations of tuma. And therefore, if there's no psula gulf that's over there, the only thing it can mean to have hechsher and psul means that there are gradations of tumah over here. And therefore, that terminology that's used in the Mishnah indicates that Rabbi Shimon believes that his hechsher creates or generates a Rishon Lashani, a hierarchy, because of the fact that he uses a terminology of hechsher in a situation that's dealing with chulin, which isn't relevant by tumah tara. Elim Cain, you're dealing with gradations, because in terms of hechsher psul, to say it's not edible, yes edible, that has no relevance in the world of chulin. Amai, v'halav ochala baba maimu. That's a case where it's something that didn't come into water. The hechsher did not happen through the standard liquids priming it for tumah. It happened because Rabbi Shimon believes shchita has the same impact or the same effect as something that had liquids that primed there, or something else that was mukshar the kabel tumah. Amar lei abaye, Asua kehechsher mayim midrabanan. They made it like hechsher mayim, which works midrabanan. What's interesting over here is what is the question of Rav Yosef, and then what is the answer of Abaye? If Rav Yosef over here thinks that hechsher shchita is midrabanan, then what's his question over here? He's saying Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you do a shchita, that shchita is makshir the animal, but that concept is only a concept midrabanan. So what is he trying to prove with regards to Chibar HaKodesh, that is the Oraita? He knows that it's the Rabbanon by Rabbi Shimon. Why should Rabbi Shimon's the Rabbanon therefore impact on the Tzurid Shomen Achot, which is a question of Chibar Kodesh, mid Oraita? So first of all, what's his proof from there? And then what's Abaye's answer that Asur Kehechsher Mayim mid Rabbanan? They made it like Hechsher Mayim mid Rabbanan. What it might be, in the way that the Ran explained over here, that the Rabbanon would only institute something if they know that there's a paradigm that exists that does the same thing. And that's what Rav Yosef is saying. Mid Rabbanan, you have hechsher l'tkabel tumah, even without liquids, which is this shchita of Rabbi Shimon. And the only reason that you would be gozer mid Rabbanan, that it would be machshir l'tkabel tumah from a shchita, which is a dry item, is if you have a paradigm mid oraita that has such a standing, a paradigm that says that Kibbutz Kodesh has a Rishon and Sheni in it. If you have such a paradigm, then it makes sense, midrabanan, to have an institution like that. But if you don't have a paradigm, midoraita, then it doesn't make sense. Rabbi's response to him is, it's not a paradigm, because over there, the Rabbanon made shchita as if Mayim came on at midrabanan. And all the Rabbanon did was, they said that we're paralleling to that Hechsher, the Oraita. The Chamim made it as if it's a wet item. Even though that's hechsher b'mayim and this is hechsher without mayim, they're still patterning it after that, and therefore it's not any proof that there is such a concept or paradigm d'oraita of a dry hechsher. Then the Gemara brings another question. Amar Rabbi Zeira Tashma, a butzer legat. Someone who is picking grapes. They're taking these grapes and they're going to press them. They're in the basket, and now liquids are leaching out or coming out of these grapes, and they're washing the grapes in the basket. They are not interested in the liquid leaching from the grapes because they want the liquid to go into the press and use it for wine. They don't want liquid to come out now in the grapes that are in the basket. Shammai Omer, Hukshar. Shammai says that that's makshir the grapes, the mekabel tumah. Hillel Omer, lo Hukshar. Hillel says that it's not able to be makshirit. We're speaking about, at least according to the Gemara and other places, a basket that has holes on the bottom. So the liquid that's being exuded over here, Hillel says, goes leibud. He can't keep the liquid because it's going to drip out of the basket. Both Shammai and Hillel agree that the liquid on the item is not successfully makshirit because it's going to ibud. You can't keep the liquid. And therefore you have no interest in this liquid leaching out because you're going to lose it. It's going to drip out the bottom of the basket. Since you don't want it, it can't be makshir the kabel tumah. But they are gozer atu. A case where you have a basket that is mizufefet. A basket that has pitch at the bottom that would keep the liquid inside of it. Shammai says, because you might have a basket that keeps the liquid, and then you would want the liquid, because then the liquid that leaches out, you'll keep, and then you'll pour it into the gut when you get there, and you'll be able to save it. Since there are baskets like that, there goes there in all baskets that if there's liquid comes out, it's makshir the kabel tumah. So it says, we don't have such a gzeira. That's the nature of the conversation that takes place over there. So now they're bringing this as a proof, which seemingly is not a proof, because over there it's all like gzeira. We'll discuss that in 1 second. V'shatik le Hillel the Shammai. And Hillel was able to push back against Shammai and say, the liquid's going to ibud, how could it be that it's makshir? And the answer there is that it's gzeira. So Amai, why was it makshir? Ba'alav ochel ababa mayimu. It's not a case of ochel that went through water. Amalei Abaye, asu kehechsher mayim
midrabanan. They made it the equivalent as if it got water midrabanan on it, and that's why it's makshir over there. Abaye does over here the same thing that he did before, which says this institution midrabanan, even though it seems like we're speaking about dry items, and they're still mukshar the kabel tuma, at least according to Shammai, and in the case before, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mukshar the kabel tuma. So you would have thought those are paradigms of things that are dry, and therefore that could bring a proof to Reish Lakish about chibata kodesh. In both cases, Abaye says that they made it the equivalent of something that had a liquid that passed over it, midrabanan. Now, the Baalei HaTosafot asks, what exactly is the proof? Based on the way we explained that Gemara, with regards to Abotzi of the God, seemingly it has nothing to do with our Gemara over here. So Tosafot says, Eish Lomar, the Hachi Kamar, this is what they're trying to present. Kamin midoraita, v'ashkenacha hechshir below mashkeh, since we don't find midoraita, anything that is mukshar the kabel tuma, without a liquid on it, over there when you're picking into the basket and the liquid's dripping out of the basket and therefore, it's not considered to be makshir the kabel tuma. The chachamim shouldn't have put a gzeira in place. Maybe you'll pick it into a basket that has a base to it that would keep the liquid, because there's no such concept. On the other hand, if we do find such a precedent somewhere else, then maybe that would be a good enough reason to be gozer. So in essence, you have a situation, according to the Baalei HaTosafot, whereby you're putting grapes into a basket, the liquid is leaching out of the basket because there are holes in the bottom of it. So it's the equivalent of having dry grapes. So those dry grapes that don't have a liquid that passed over them, why would you makshir them? The answer is, gzeira otu, a case where you have a basket that traps the liquid. In that case, it would be something that you'd be okay with. That's what it says, that you would only do that, you would only make such a gzeira, if you found a precedent, midoraita, whereby a dry item has a rishon and a sheni. If you had such a precedent, midoraita, then it makes sense that the rabbanon would go there in such a dry item. If we don't have such a precedent, then we would not be gozer in that case. So what the gzeira is trying to prove from that case, even though it's different, it's a gzeira, is to say that the gzeira is relying on the fact that there must be some other precedent by which there's a dry item that has rishon and sheni, which must mean that there's chibat hakodesh out there that has a rishon and sheni, and based on that precedent, that paradigm, they're willing to be gozer over here. And similarly, what we said before with regards to the shechita of Rabbi Shimon, the only reason that you would be gozer midrabanan, that it would be makshir the kabel tuma from a shechita, which is a dry item, is if you have a paradigm midoraita that has such a standing, a paradigm that says that kibbutz kodesh has a rishon and sheni in it. If you have such a paradigm, then it makes sense midrabanan to have an institution like that.
Although the Ramban explains here that he thinks it's a machloket sugyot, and that our sugyot over here thinks that the etzem habitzira, the picking of the grapes, is machshir them the kabel tuma, similar to the way that chibat kodesh is machshir them to be kabel tuma, similar to the way that shchita is machshir the kabel tuma without any liquid. And in that way, the Ramban says that's the nature of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Zeira's question over here.
In both cases, Abaye answers, Rabbanan asuu kehechsher b'mayim midrabanan. They made it as if it went through water, a liquid midrabanan. And so therefore, it's not really relying on a paradigm that is a dry item that has a rishon sheni midoraita. Rabbanan instituted it that it looks like hechsher the kabel tuma because they made it as if a liquid went on it. They treated it as if a liquid went on it. Amalei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says to his Talmid Abaye, Amina lecha ana hukshru b'shchita. I gave an example of a case that there's hechsher the kabel tuma by shchita. And you tell me how they made it like hechsher mayim. And then Rabbi Zeira also brought you the case of Boats of the God. He said, yeah, no, don't bring that as a proof, because there also it was as if they went through mayim midrabanan. So the Rabbi Shimon Lakish Nami. Why don't you just say the same thing by Rabbi Shimon Lakish of Chibat HaKodesh? Asuk hechsher mayim. They made it just like hechsher mayim. Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye, the same answer that you're giving to dismiss these cases, give to answer the question of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish wants to know, in Chibat HaKodesh, are there gradations? Now, we brought you two cases, but we showed you that even without liquids, there are gradations. Shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, and Boats of the God, according to Shammai. And despite that, you're telling us, No, those aren't good examples, because the Chachamim over there made them as if a liquid went over them. Well, then why don't you just say the same thing by Chibat HaKodesh? The Chachamim made it as if a liquid went over it, and they also will have gradations, midrabanan. So, Amalei, Atu Rabbi Shimon Galokish,
Litlot kamibayle. Wait a minute. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's question is not a rabbinic level question. Litlot means, again, taluy. You leave it bisafek because it's only a din derabbanan. Kamibayle lisrof. He wants to understand a situation in which you can burn it, which means that it's really mukshar midoraita. The question that Rabbi Lakish is asking is at a Torah level. Does Chibat Kodesh work in this way, just like the Heksha, the Kabul Tuma? And examples that you and Rabbi Zera brought before were examples, Midrabanan. Midrabanan, I'm answering you, yes, there is a concept, Midrabanan, like this. But even that concept, Midrabanan, is not based on a paradigm, Midoraita. It's based on the fact that the Rabbanan deemed it as if there was Mayim that went over it. And therefore, it doesn't have to have some sort of paradigm, Midoraita. But, Enochanami, for Reish Lakish, if you ask me, Midrabanan, he would agree with these other two cases. Midrabanan, there's definitely hierarchy here. There are gradations of Tuma, Rishon, Sheni, and so on and so forth. His question is it also true Midoraita? And for that, we have yet to bring any proof to that question. Now the Gemara says, Michlal, from the way that Abaye responded to Rav Yosef and Rav Yosef's acceptance of that answer, Michlal, the Chibat HaKodesh Midoraita. That seems to indicate that there is Chibat Kodesh functions even at a Torah level. Because he's asking, at a Torah level, is there Rishon and Sheni? Means that Chibat HaKodesh itself must function at a Doraita level. Question is, does it have a hierarchy? Does it have gradations or doesn't? But there's no question that it's a Doraita mechanism for being Makshir. Minalon, how do you know that? Where does that come from? Ilema midichtiv, if it's because of the pasuk that says, Vahabasar asher yigab b'chol tamei, hai basar, did kasher b'mai. How did that basar kodesh get to be mukshar the kabul tuma that it can accept tuma? Ilema did kasher b'dam, if you're going to say it's with the blood, that doesn't work over here because we already saw back on Daf Lamed Gimel, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Minayin the Dam Kodoshim, She'enu Makshir. The Dam of Kodoshim, the Dam of Shechita from Kodoshim, is not Makshir the animal, Shenemar, Lo Tochlenu, Ala Aretz Tishpechenu Kamayim. That you may not eat the blood, you have to spill it on the ground like water. Dam Anishpach Kamayim Makshir. Blood that is treated like water that can be spilled on the ground, that is Makshir. She'enu nishpach mamayim, enu makshir. Like the dam of kodeshim, which you have to collect it in a utensil, you can't let it spill on the ground. It doesn't work to be makshir. The kabel tuma. Ella, tit kasher b'mashke beit mitbachayim. It must be that it became mukshir, the kabel tuma, in the washing up of the animals. The beit mitbachayim means like really in the butcher's block, which is the area where they used to clean the animals. They clean the intestines, clean the insides, the basar, flay the animals. In there they used water. And so the water that got in it must have been what was makshirit the kabul tuma. Va'amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina mashke beit mitbechaya lo dayan shein dachein elo shein makshirim. The liquids that are found in the beit mitbechaya, not enough that they are tahor and they're not mekabul tuma. They are not able to be makshir other items. Again, we're back to square one. Is how did this basar become mukshar the kabul tuma in order to accept tuma? The dam of Shechita doesn't help you because the dam of Kodeshim is not al aretz tishpechenu kamayim and therefore it's not makshir. So you're going to suggest it's the liquids when they washed it off, they hosed it down, when they were dealing in the butcher's block with the animal, you're going to say that liquid is makshir. That liquid doesn't even become tamei. Forget about being makshir. It's not even something that is tamei. That liquid is not susceptible to tuma. That's based on a testimony of Yossi ben Yoezer in the first parak in Psachim, where he has a mesora that the liquids of Beit Mitbechaya do not have tuma. The machloket amoraim there, what that means. Does that mean that they can't become tamei? Or does that simply mean that they can become tamei, they can't convey tuma? So that's a machloket there in the first parak in Psachim, as to what's the status of those liquids that are tohorim. Are they tohor the gamre? And mashkim, maybe midoraita. They don't have any din of tuma whatsoever. Or is it that they accept tuma midoraita? They can't convey tuma? Again, that's all discussion in the Gemara in Psachim. There is a third day that mashkim work even midoraita. They accept and convey tuma midoraita. But based on that testimony, they say that Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chinaniah says about Yossi ben Yoezer's statement that not only are they tohorim, the liquids, they are not makshir. Now I have nothing to be makshir the basar. B'chitema targama adam. If you want to say what's the definition of mashke beit mitbechaya, is the blood, ha mashke kamar. It says mashkim in plural. That means that it can't just be dam, it has to be the other liquids as well. Ba'itos varovir raise an issue with that, which is that the Gemara Psachim doesn't see that as definitive proof. The Gemara in Pesachim says, because mashke can mean liquids in general, dam in general. Sometimes you use a plurality, not because there are multiple types of liquids there, but because it applies to dam in any situation of kodoshim. Any dam in kodoshim would have this din, and that's why he uses the plural. So he says that that's not definitive proof, and the Gemara in Pesachim is not swayed by the fact that it's mashke. He says that he thinks that the Gemara here is relying on the word dachain, which is in plural, and therefore these are tehorim in plural. And that dachain influences us to say it's not just speaking about dam, but it's speaking about other items as well. And that means that all the liquids here do not have the capacity to be machshir the kabul tumah. So then we're back to our question, how did this basar become susceptible to tumah? How was it primed to accept tumah? Ella, lavdit kasher b'chibat kodesh, must be that it was chibat kodesh that did the job. And therefore, that's our source, that midoraita, there is a din of chibat kodesh. V'dilma, k'dir Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maybe it's according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, d'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, k'gon chayta la para shel zivchei shlamim. Maybe he had a cow that he was bringing as a shlamim in the Mikdash. Ve'vira b'nachal, and he took it through a river before he brought it into the Mikdash in order to shecht it. Shachta, he shechted it, v'dayin mashket tofechala, and the liquid from taking it through the river is still upon it. And Rashi over here points out that the reason that they used the example of a shlamim that was taken through a river, he says for two reasons. Number one, the pasuk that we're quoting for Chibat HaKodesh, Babasar Sheigah B'chol Tameh, contextually in the Chumash, is speaking about a shlamim. That's number one. Number two is, in a shlamim, the or, the hide, and the basar goes to the owner. And therefore, the owner has a vested interest in the flaying process going well, as well as the skin being clean. So the owner will go out of his way to take the animal through the river before he brings it into the Mikdash, because that's his resultant take from the korban is going to be better off if he takes it through the river. In other korbanot, where he's not going to get it, he has less vested interest in doing such, and he'd be less likely to do that because it's to the benefit of the kohanim. The benefit doesn't accrue to him. Here, where the benefit accrues to him, he's more likely to do it, and therefore he'll take an active approach to taking it through the river in order to wash it, make it clean, and make it easier to flay later, because he's the beneficiary of that which is taking place. So now you have liquid on the ore. You have liquid on the hide, but you don't have liquid on the basar, which is the item that's ochel, that needs to be mukshar, the kabul tumah. So Rashi claims that what happens over here is that the liquid from the hide drips on the basar. Since that's liquid you wanted anyway on the hide, so then it is able to be machshir the kabul tumah. When it falls in the basar, it's machshir the kabul tumah. The Baal Tosafot think that that's not correct, and that's because when it comes to tumah, tumah can be conveyed and accepted through two different mechanisms if you don't touch the actual object. One of them is a shomer, something that guards the object itself, for instance, a peel, or something that's around a fruit that protects it, that's called a shomer. A yad is something that you use to carry the item. So a good example of whether it's an orange, an apple, any type of fruit. The skin that's on the fruit is a protective item, that's a shomer. There's a yad, which is that, if, for instance, on an apple, you leave the stem coming out of it, that you'd pick up the apple. With that, you can carry the apple. With that, that becomes a yad. So the Mishnayot and Makshirim discuss how tumah can sometimes be conveyed and accepted through a yad and through a shomer. Mishnayot have different halachot that relate to that. With regards to heksher, the kabul tumah, we have a machloket whether a yad can accept this heksher. I mean, if the yad was washed, does that impact on the item? Tosfot says is by a shomer, everybody agrees it's considered to be part and parcel of the item. And if you wash the shomer, it's as if you wash the item itself. So if an orange got washed on the outside, the fruit on the inside is considered washed, even though you only washed it with the peel on it. He says similarly over here, the skin on the basar is a shomer. It's a guard. It's something that protects the basar that is below it. Remember, if you wash the ore, it's the equivalent of washing the basar as well. And therefore, if the hide is still wet when you do the shechita, then it's washing it after it became basar, after it was already dead, the animal, and it was now ra'oi the basar. The liquid on the ore will be in hechsher for the basar that is below it, even if the liquid never drops on the basar. That's the view of the Baal HaYad Tosafot. So now we don't have any more proof from here that Chibat Kodesh is midoraita. Because now we're explaining the situation in which the basar became mukshar the kabul tumah, as a case where he took it through the river beforehand and the water was still on the skin when they shechted it. And that's what created the hechsher. That's a classic case of hechsher through a liquid. That's not through Chibat HaKodesh. Elam Seifa. It's from the latter part of the Pasuk, meaning that the Pasuk has the word Vabasar twice. has basar in the first place, that's dealing with meat or basar of kodeshim. Then it has a basar again, and that then includes other items, which is a basar, they're about itzim ulivona. Itzim ulivona b'nei achila ninu? What do you mean? What are you including itzim, wood, and livona, frankincense? They're not edible items. So why are you including them in items that are being mukshar the kabel tuma? Ela chibat kodesh makshra lehu. Chibat kodesh works. Even though they're not uchlim, it is successful at being makshir them. O mishavi lehu ochel. And it changes them or classifies them into being ochel. And if they're now classified as ochel, then they can accept tuma. So you see that chibat kodesh has this power to be makshir. Not only has the power to be makshir, it has the power to be makshir things that not otherwise ochlin and change them into the equivalent of what would be ochel. Tosfot is somewhat perplexed by this and says, Tema, minolon da'ato l'rabot etzim l'vona. How do you know babasar comes to include these objects that are not ochlim? Dilma l'basar da'ati. Maybe it's coming to be makshir basar. Demani l'chibat kodesh v'lo b'yekshir. Coming to teach you that even without liquids, chibat kodesh would work to be makshir basar, even without liquids. And then you wouldn't include etzim l'vona. Some suggest that v'habasar, the first v'habasar, actually comes to the rabot basar itself, and say that basar itself can also be mukshar through chibat hakodesh, either because the first v'habasar is also extraneous, or because the vav of the first v'habasar is extraneous, and therefore the limud comes from there. Others suggest that the habasar is really not coming for etzim elubona, but it's really coming for things like tzarit shel menachot. Tzarit shel menachot is actually an edible item. And if it's an edible item, then v'habasar telling you that chibat hakodesh works means that it would work for an edible item like that. Kind of also would work for basar. And then Tosafot's question falls by the wayside. The inclusion of etzim and livona, then it's only an asmakta or only a din derabonon. That's the way the Ramban explains it over here. That the ikar din from v'habasar is about tzarit shel menachot, a dry item like a mincha, the solit, which is an edible item. Etzim and levonah are also included, but only included mid derabanan. And that would also answer this question of the Baalei HaTosafot. Because if you're including etzarit shel menachot, you would also include basar. It's any dry item in hektesh, that's an ochel, would be included. And therefore it's not so far-fetched then to say that the basar is included in that, rather than saying you have some far-fetched inclusion here of etzim and levonah, rather than just speaking about basar kodesh, that it's mukshar yedei chibat kodesh. So hachanami, so too in our case, chibat hakodesh machsharta. In our case, the Reb Stuckish's question of tzarit shel menachot, it's clear that there was hechsher the kabel tuma ayidei chibat hakodesh. My, so now the Gemara reformulates Reb Stuckish's question based on this idea of the doraita level question. Before we had an answer, at least on a rabbinic level, we had an answer to the question. Now on a doraita level, the Gemara is saying, first of all, I'll prove to you that chibat hakodesh works mi doraita, and now this is the formulation of the question. Kimahanya chibat kodesh lepsula de gufei. Does chibat kodesh succeed at being posel the guf, meaning that it's posel the item itself, and that's it? It just tells you that this item is more susceptible to tuma because of chibat kodesh. It's not really a heksha the kabel tuma. It just simulates the effect of a heksha the kabel tuma, and that it's now primed or susceptible to tuma. Avalimimne be rishon masheni lo. But it doesn't have all these gradations in this hierarchy of tuma. It becomes pasul. It doesn't pass on any tuma. Odilma loshna. Or maybe it makes no difference, meaning that it's exactly like heksher the kabel tuma. And that means that it's now primed to act and work in the same way as ocha would work when liquids come over it. And that means that not only would it accept the tuma now, that tuma would then have gradations of rishon and sheni. Teku, the Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue with regards to Reish Lakish's position. So even though Mid Rabbanan, we know for sure there's Rishon and Sheni, Mid Oraita, we do not know if there is a Din Doraita. And then the Baalei Tosafot tries to square that away with Gemaras and other places in Shas, including how exactly does it matter whether something is Mukshar the Kabel Tuma, Eidei Chibat HaKodesh. And that is because Tosafot quotes over here, he says, Im Tomar, Tifshot the Reish Lakish. Let's answer Reish Lakish's question. Mida Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. From Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina before said, before Mashke Beit Mitbechayo Enu Makshir. The Mashkim of the Beit Mitbechayo are not Makshir. Ve'imahani Chibad HaKodesh Mimine Bei Rishon V'Sheni. If you had Chibad HaKodesh that works to make it into a Rishon V'Sheni, Ma'i Nafkamina Be'Echshero. Why do we care whether the liquids of the Beit Mitbechayo are Makshir? It says the fact that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mentions that the liquids of the Beit Mitbechayo are not Makshir, that shows you that Chibat HaKodesh is not doing what the liquids would have done. Because if the Chibad HaKodesh did whatever the liquids were going to do, then why does it matter whether the liquids of Beit Mikvachai are makshir or not? The Korban was automatically mukshar because you shefted the animal before and it was Chibad HaKodesh. It should be done already. So Yesh Lamar, the Nafkamina, Tosfot says there still is a Nafkamina. For Dvarim Shayu Mevim Bazara, the things they bring to the Zara. Gam Chulin Ayu Mevim Lecholim HaMinachot VeZvachim. And the Kohenim used to bring additional items to eat along with the Zvachim HaMinachot that they're eating there with Chulin. They should Nechalim Ala Sofa. Because of the requirement that they have to be eaten on the sofa, like the Korban HaPesach. All Korbanot for Kohenim have to be eaten in that way. Derech Malchut. That they're not eating when they're ravenous, they only eat it when they're somewhat satisfied, and therefore they enjoy it like a kingly royalty would do so. And therefore, there were other food items in the Mikdash. Therefore, there's a nafkamina about the liquids of Beit Mikvachaya, not for the korbanot, because Kibbutz HaKodesh would have taken care of that, but nevertheless, there is a nafkamina for other things. And therefore, the question is a relevant question, even if you believe that there is Kibbutz HaKodesh. If you don't believe there's Kibbutz HaKodesh, certainly it's a question. But if you believe Chibad HaKodesh works still right, it still could be a question, even though for the Korban itself, it's not a relevant question. So Tosfot says you can't prove anything through there, and therefore we don't have an answer to Reish Lakish's question, and that remains a take to an unresolved issue, at least at a Oraita level. And we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph.